Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, I guess, what would you say, our resident Swifty here. Just introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Jessica Gronzer. I guess you could say I'm the unofficial Taylor Swift correspondent for WTOP News at this point.
Yeah, you've written a couple articles when, you know, her tour has come through and stuff. But we wanted to have you on here because, you know, Taylor just dropped at midnight her 11th album, Tortured Poets Department, and the whole second, you know, a surprise at 2 a.m. of a whole second disc. We can get to that in a few minutes. But I want to start, you know, big picture stuff. Obviously, you're a huge Taylor Swift fan. I'm a fan too. My wife is a huge Taylor Swift fan. My cousin-in-law is the biggest one I know. Jess, shout out. I am a fan, though. I saw her opening, gosh, what, for like Tim McGraw back in like her country era. And I want to address the haters at the top. Like, people hate on anything popular. You know, like, the people that don't like her seem like she's some sort of, they claim she's like a prepackaged pop stereotype, but she's anything but. She writes all of her own songs. She is a lyrical genius, if you ask me. And she has done that for like 11 albums. So, you know, what do you say? What do you say to the haters? For me, it's mad respect.
Well, just starting off at the top, I didn't come up with this, but I've heard this and I resonate with this. Don't yuck someone's yum. You know, like, it's not hurting you for her to put this music out.
Yeah.
It's not causing any harm to you to hear it in the grocery store. But I mean, I would agree with you. I think over the years, we've seen her really develop as an artist. Of course, some of the quality of songwriting has, like, I think if anything, gone up over time. And the authenticity, you know, she's writing from the heart. And yet she's doing that in a way that resonates with so many people. You know, she'll be touching on these themes about very specific events in her life, but people listening to it are thinking about something that happened to them or something that happened to a friend, and somehow she's able to make it relatable. And I feel like that's been something she's done throughout the years pretty consistently. Well, trying to mix up the sound here and there, while changing genres several times. And I find that impressive. You know, if you don't, I don't think it's hurting you, but that's just my take.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure the majority of people agree. That's why she's such a huge star. One more sort of big picture one before we get into the song, a deep drill into the songs. Like, I want to talk about the timing of the announcement of the album. Last year, you know, not only did she have the huge Eras tour, you know, the concert tour, and then the blockbuster concert documentary that followed, that was one of the top grossing movies of the year too. But she announced it during the acceptance speech at the Grammys. And then she went on later that night to win, you know, her record fourth album of the year. So Stevie Wonder, Sinatra, and Paul Simon are the only one to have three. Tay-Tay now has four. So, just talk about sort of the buzz leading into this and sort of why this was so anticipated. I mean, we're sort of in uncharted territories in terms of her success and her acclaim right now.
Absolutely. I mean, I think part of that is the fact that she sort of made herself a commodity by going away. You know, when she was sort of in her Reputation era, if you want to refer to it that way, she wasn't doing really any press. She kind of just put the music out and let it speak for herself. And, you know, she wasn't commenting on it. She wasn't being seen as much publicly. And then, of course, you know, eventually you had COVID happen. So she was kind of forced to recluse herself. Meanwhile, she started pumping out art at a higher rate than she ever had. And I think that's part of how we've sort of seen this like fast climb. Because before that, we were looking at a new album about every 2 years. And then all of a sudden, it was just like, she couldn't stop creating. And I think people were drawn to that. I think people noticed that she was putting out that much. Again, stuff that was, you know, relatable, stuff that was, you know, hitting on sort of her brand, but reinventing herself. And building up to that announcement, I think people thought she was actually going to announce the re-recording of Reputation. That's what the fan base was sort of talking about at the time. So she kind of like, you know, threw a curveball by announcing something else, though, you know, she had already signaled that night just by how she was dressed, which is, you know, again, says something about the fan base that the way she's dressed, you're like, this is what's going to happen tonight. Like, something's going to happen tonight. It's not what we thought initially, because she's not wearing the right colors or she's not dressed in the right style. You know, she has gloves on. That doesn't feel right for Reputation. So I think like that's sort of like part of the lead up was we thought we were getting something else and then it was actually new music, which is, of course, very exciting for people and very unexpected at a time when she's still on a world tour. She's still touring all this music. And meanwhile, she's just throwing out this album that's like, you know, now counting the bonus tracks, like 30 some songs or so.
Where does she find the time? Yeah, it's crazy.
Exactly. Re-recording. It's a wild ride for her. And I mean, it's been fun to watch.
Right, yeah, re-recording Taylor's versions of every of the old albums too. Like, where do you find the time? But it really is impressive. Prolific, prolific singer-songwriter stuff. All right, well, let's without further ado, let's dive into this double album here, the new music. I want to know how you experienced it. Like the first album drops at midnight. The first disc, let's say, Tortured Poets Department. It's 16 songs. Comes out at midnight. So are you waiting until midnight to listen to it? And then suddenly, after you've listened a couple times through, suddenly what you get like a notification? It's 2 a.m. Oh my gosh! There's a whole surprise release of a second album, the anthology, with 15 more songs. Like, I want to know sort of how that rolled out for you. Like I want to know at midnight and at 2 a.m.
Yeah, so leading up to it, I knew I was going to be driving down to the Outer Banks that night. And honestly, I feel like there's no better way to experience a new album than just being in the car. You're on a road trip, you just turn it up. So right at midnight, I was ready. I was in the car with my younger sister, who's also a huge Swiftie, and my boyfriend. The three of us went to the Eras tour together. So it seemed fitting that we entered this new era together as well. Just off the bat, was very excited listening to the different songs. And if I'm being honest, the 2 a.m. thing wasn't a massive surprise for a lot of people who've been paying attention. As a lot of people know, Taylor tends to put little hints out, riddles and codes, and people were hinting at the fact that there might be a double album here, that we might be looking at a whole second album coming out from her doing a peace sign when she announced the album, like you were talking about at the awards show. Down to that and like the twos, people were like, there's going to be two albums. And of course, there's a lot of fan theories. They're just complete malarkey. They never turn out to be true. People are too down in the weeds. They're, looking too hard for there to be something where there's not. But this was one that turned out to be true. And I think that's pretty cool that she still has that relationship with fans where she can signal something with as simple as like doing twos in her album promo. Yeah. And people know that must mean something. And they come up with a theory and it turned out to be true. So as far as listening to the second one, I'll be honest, I started it last night and I was like, it's too late. I can't appreciate it the way I need to. I can't hear the lyrics the way I need to. So I waited till the morning and I went out on the deck here and I just, listened to the ocean and I like brought my speaker out and just enjoyed it that way with some fresh eyes. Was surprised to find that a lot of it's not really in the same style as the first half of the album. There's like some differences in there, which is maybe part of how she ended up doing a double album. She didn't feel it fit, but that was sort of my experience listening to the album.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's do a deep dive into some of the songs too, because so you've listened to both of them all the way through. I was up late last night writing a review of HBO's the miniseries The Jinx Part 2. So I didn't get to listen to it right at midnight, but I woke up this morning and, and jumped around YouTube and listened to a good bit of it. But I wanted to have you on because you've listened to the whole all of them of both albums. So how about the title track, Tortured Poets Department? There's the line is, you're not Dylan Thomas and I'm not Patti Smith. This isn't the Chelsea Hotel. We're two idiots. So when you hear two idiots, you're like, wait, is it her and Travis Kelce? But then you realize, no, it can't be because it's, it's about a tortured poet at a typewriter. And that definitely can't be Travis Kelce. So who is she slaying in this one? Is it Maddie Healy do you know the backstory of that one?
Yeah, I think people were surprised to find a little more Maddie Healy than you might expect on this album. Some references to, perhaps using drugs. There's a line about how, you should be in prison. I don't think people really think of that with some of her other exes or some other people she's been with. Not saying that, Maddie Healy should be in prison, but, that was what came to mind for me.
Yeah.
I think, as far as, dissecting exactly who is about what, it can be a little difficult sometimes, it can be sticky, but that was definitely a track that stuck out, just singing about that, toxic love. And I think perhaps an area where that was surprising is we were already hearing about this longing for a ring, this longing to be a part of a marriage, mm-hmm. Right off the bat on the second track on the album, she's already bringing that theme forward. And you saw that time and time again, just singing about, basically, I thought we were gonna be a family and we're not anymore, and that feeling and that loss of a dream.
Yeah, I think there's a line in that song that she says the guy took the she had a ring on her middle finger and he took it off and put it on her ring finger, and so she hoped that they would start a family, but the guy was just trash. And she goes after him in The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. I think that was also about Maddie Healy, but savage. How about Jo Alwyn? Doesn't she also reference that ex as well in LOML?
Yeah, you have to imagine when she's talking about, you know, the love of her life, that she's not talking about some guy she was with for a couple months.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Jo Alwyn kind of pops up throughout, and he definitely catches some strays, you know, and takes some direct hits as well, I would say. I think the end of that song that you mentioned, LOML, her saying, you know, you were the loss of my life, is something that's just, you know, like really resonates with people. Anytime you can like connect a common phrase to a different meaning, I feel like people that really sticks with people. And now when I see like LOML, I feel like I'm going to be thinking of both things.
Right. She starts the song saying, you think it's love of my life, LOML, and then it's loss of my life. It's a full circle journey on that one. But actually, I think it's sort of, I think we, you know, music critics and stuff can fall into the trap of like, oh, which song is about which guy? And that's sort of, I mean, it's part of the fun of it, obviously. But let's talk, you know, there's so much more to Taylor's albums, obviously. So did you have any other songs that stood out, you know, otherwise that you know, were your personal favorites?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, So Long London, again, that's one where you can debate which British ex she's talking about that ruined the city for her. But that's one that really stuck out, you know, just singing about, you know, losing part of yourself. But, you know, she's also got like a glimmer of hope in there. He's singing about, you know, how she's going to find someone else, you know, like life isn't going to end here, which is something you don't see on a lot of the other songs. You know, I think a lot of the other songs are, you know, pretty dark, pretty depressed. Yeah. She's working through those feelings. She's getting those out. Another one that stuck out to me a lot was But Daddy, I Love Him. Mm-hmm. I think just the title alone, people were already very excited for that one. They were wondering what it was going to be about. Maybe it's, you know, some kind of The Little Mermaid reference to Ariel. Saying,
yeah,
you know,
I never thought about that. Yeah, yeah, maybe.
But I was listening to it, and basically she's singing about, you know, daddy or someone telling her that she shouldn't be with this guy, that this guy's trouble, that he's not good for her. And I had to just take away from that, that that was sort of a song to the fans. I don't know if that's how she meant it to be interpreted, but that's definitely how I took it. Sort of like the fans telling her she shouldn't be with Maddie Healy, or she shouldn't be with Jo Alwyn for whatever reason. People have their opinions. And that was sort of my takeaway, was she was telling us, you know, you can say whatever you want about my relationship. I'm going to date who I want to date. You can kind of keep those opinions to yourself. They're not going to influence me. And I thought that was sort of a fun take, that it was like right to the fans, at least in my eyes. Again, you know, I'm not in the writing room with her. I've got my little notepad here. I was like scribbling down.
While you try to maybe think of another one that you really liked on your notepad, I just wanted to ask about some collaborations, because the opening track, Fortnite, is with Post Malone, and then I guess Florida is a song with Florence and the Machine. What'd you make of the, you know, the collaborations bringing other artists? Because I mean, Taylor at this point can probably ask whoever, and they jump at the chance to work with her, obviously. But any thoughts on sort of the collaborations with Post Malone and Florence and the Machine?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the collaborations always sort of give her some room to do something a little different, and she usually takes advantage of that space. You know, like that song with Post Malone, Fortnite, that's definitely a little bit of a different sound for her. Some of those melodies he brought in are not something you would expect to hear on a Taylor Swift song, but I enjoyed them. Sort of that singing about the fleeting romance of it all. I thought Florida was witty. I thought it was fun to listen to. You're kind of wondering, like, what is she talking about during it? You know, is this about like a Florida man stereotype? It's celebrating the state a little, and also, you know, throwing a little shade at other points. And I thought, you know, Florence and the Machine, like that, like sultry energy, again, was something you wouldn't have expected to quite see from her in that way, at least. And it was fun to have something different. And it sort of broke up the album too, you know, because you had a lot of like sad tracks with heavy synth, and it just mixed it up having these other tracks in there, the collaborations.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's I can't wait to dive in and listen to the whole thing. The final track of that first disc speaks to my movie history love, because it's called Clara Bow. Of course, the old silent actress from the first Best Picture winner, Wings, in 1927. I can't wait to do a deep dive on all of it. But how would you, just sort of bringing it full circle, how would you like sonically describe the whole thing? I mean, Fortnite has like a little Lana Del Rey-ish sound to it. I don't know. But yeah, like overall, you know, what would you say the overall vibe was it as you're, you know, driving down the road listening or on, you know, the beach listening to it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we were getting a lot of like heavy synth, which we had like sort of her, from her Midnight's album, you know, to compare it to her prior music. Maybe some of that like Red feeling, but more writing wise, closer to like maybe Evermore and Folklore as far as the poetry goes. You know, we've got some lyrics where she's like stuffing a lot of words in really fast. I think that's like sort of a unique style for her. That's something that she didn't do 8 years ago.
Yeah,
I think that would be like sort of my take on that. Like a little bit of like Red pulling on some of her prior tools she's had while mixing some new things in too.
So you would say closest to Red, but while also mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think she's got a formula that works for her and she's trying to lean into that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us. It's so cool that you and everyone got to listen in the car on the way down. That's actually how my wife and I just listened to Cowboy Carter, the Beyonce one. Well, together for the first time. I'd already heard a lot of it and she heard some. But, you know, to sit down, you know, in order, we listened to it on a road trip. It's the best way to do it. Well, I guess stay tuned and we'll see if album number 11 here, Tortured Poets Department, will, you know, maybe make her, Taylor, a 5-time album of the year winner. We don't know. It's too early for all that awards. That's like this time. That's next year. So, right now, just everyone enjoy it. So, hey, thanks for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Do you mind if I mention two more songs real quick?
Oh, go for it. Yeah, a little coda here. All right. In closing here, a little tease, a couple more that they need to look out for.
You have got to listen to I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. If you're going to, you know, just go down and listen to a few, that's one to listen to. She's basically singing about performing during the Eras tour with a broken heart, you know, through multiple breakups. And I think that's a feeling a lot of people can relate to, not even just, you know, a breakup, but anytime you have something heavy in your life and you feel like you've got to just keep hitting those marks and, you know, put a smile on your face to just keep the ball rolling. I think that's a very relatable emotion. Again, like I was talking about earlier, like, you know, she's singing about these seemingly unrelatable things and making them about you in a way. And if you're looking at the bonus tracks, there's one that's all undercase except for the letters K-I-M.
Okay.
And as far as throwing shade at people, I'm not saying that that's about a certain person named Kim, but that would be one to listen to for sure. Right. Again, if you're just going down and like looking for highlights,
sure.
Especially if you're interested in diving into whose songs are about what.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us. Go enjoy your vacation and listen to it 11. I guess we say 11. It's 11th album. 11 more times. Enjoy.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Bye.